We're about to start, and I do welcome the new cabinet member at the table.
He's an officer.
Actually, yes, he is an officer, yes. That's very true.
Would you prefer me to sit somewhere else, Chair?
It's all right. I'll give way this time. Okay, we make a start. We'll go through the agenda as it says, and it's going to take us a little while to get through the first part. The minutes of the meeting, the 22nd of June, were published in the web on the website. Would somebody move that a true record? Andy seconded Brian. Okay, and I'll sign them. Thank you. Now, this is the part that's going to take a little bit to explain. Apologies.
Yes, I've got apologies from the councillors Barron, Leeson and Phillips. An apology this evening from Carantini, who has unfortunately been pinged by the COVID app this morning.
Right, so at least one of the other members were pinged as well. So that's, yes. You know, it's one of those situations. So I asked, the first thing I asked, are we quorate? And we are, just about. And also, we've got the chief executive sitting in for a member of staff.
I'm the substitute, Chairman.
Your substitute. Right. Okay then, so we're all ready. So those apologies are done. We now move to public question time.
That's now, Mr. Chairman.
Right, now, councillor session. Would Councillor McEwen come to the table? You've submitted an item. Are you going to read it through? You've got 10 minutes.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, if I may, just leave it as a written word, with the right to respond afterwards.
All right, then.
Thank you.
Now, you...
Can I move or do
No, you
say?
Stay there. Because the chief executive is going to do the... Are you to do this first one?
I think
you're here. I thought you weren't coming. Okay, if you come to the table then, Councillor Trowbridge. Right. Okay, so... All right, you've got... there's 10 minutes on this, Brendan. So this is your first one for the council session, all right? You've got four sections at the top, which I think is information. And then the question, there's three questions for 10 minutes, it starts now. Righto, so are you going to, the first one is, can the cabinet member? Right.
I know as it's written.
All right, so we take question one first.
Question one, update since July 2019. Well, as everyone knows, since July 2019, there's been a lot going on. So hence 106 money being delegated to 50,000 to myself and Karen. Not a huge amount, really, because we've been working on Holmcroft Park, Chandling Park, Victoria Park. There's a lot still going on with developing Westbridge Park and everything else. So there has been a huge amount of work going on in the background. What we have done is advertise for a new 106 officer so that person can be designated solely to dealing with these under 50,000 so that we can start getting them going. We haven't lost anything as such. We've lost a year. But I think with COVID, so is everything. So I'm happy now we're going in the right direction. We've already interviewed for someone for this position, and so I don't think it will be long before someone's in place.
Right, that's the first one. Any, you want a supplement on that?
I think was, would that...
Can you speak up?
Would that question two is that yes.
Yeah.
December 31st, 2021.
Yes.
We will be in a position
yes.
where applications...
They must talk,
sorry,
talk to us, not to each other. Councillor Trowbridge. Machine is up here with the recorder. Okay. All right, now, you're happy with the answer to question one?
Yes.
Right, now, question two. The Cabinet Member, the assurance about the streamlining?
The streamlining process will be in place by the end of this year.
All right.
Okay,
and
can I just respond to that one then?
Yep.
I welcome that. So, applications for 50,000 and under will be able to be processed from January the 1st. In that new streamline process.
I'm hoping earlier then.
Okay.
Okay, so now we're on to question three. To ensure that local ward members...
Yes, there is a question there is that it's proposed that a meeting take place with ward members to approve the allocation of resources. That's over 2 years ago now. I just wondered when that might happen, that meeting.
Well, once the officer is in place, then obviously there's a process to go through this 10-year plan, so to speak, to get rid of them as they came in. I'm also looking at other options with that, because if something's ready to go, and ones that are at the top of that list, they have nothing ready to go, obviously, we need to be looking at other options as well, not just the application that is the furthest back. But the ward members obviously would be called to a meeting to say there is X amount of money to be spent in your area. Can you go out to the community, to people in your area, or do you know a project that is needed? So it's very simple in some ways, especially when you've got parishes. So the council already is dealing with four different parishes. So that's an easy way. It's more difficult when it's like Jack and myself, when you don't have parishes. But if you know good community groups, or if there's a part that needs work on it, can come in house, don't forget. But the reason this has taken a little longer, you can't just say, here's your 50,000 to Colwich Parish Council, get on with it. It has to go through a legal system, so we are responsible for that 106 money. So it has to go through an officer here. And this has been our issue, but we're working in the right direction.
Right, Brendan.
I agree to some extent, but not the whole one on that. Insofar that I have got two, what you might call, oven ready projects in Hickson, which one is value 20,000, one 15,000, and I know there is that amount of money or more from Section 106 money generated in Hickson, and it's been in the bank here for a couple of years now. I don't think there's any officer time required of any great note on those two projects, and I'm sure those could be mirrored around the whole borough by other ward members who have similar projects, which fairly simple to do. One is a refurbishment of the footpath, one is extra sports facilities. It's not rocket science, literally. It is just about, this is the work, it's quite an easy specification, these are the quotes that we've had, going to go with that one. It comes in, it ticks the box in terms of what Section 106 money should be used for and where. And I just don't see a great deal of officer time. And the nonsense, really, that we only deal with the applications in the order in which we receive the money is crazy. It's crazy. It should be, have you got projects that can go? How much officer time is required? Take it away insofar as possible from the officers. Not give the money, I'm saying, to parish councils or whatever, any other group, but let the groups do the work and bring it back to the council for sign off, and not use up hours and hours and hours of officer time that doesn't need to be used.
Right. You have the chance to reply to that.
The changing it to 50,000 was just mine and Karen's decision, made a difference of it not keep going back to Cabinet for decision making each time something's done. It doesn't cut out the legal side to this at all. I know where you're saying you've got this ready, you want to go with it, but it does not do that. We cannot go down that route, because if, let's say, the parish put a new swing in the park with our money, and it's 106 money that the developer said he's happy for it to go into that area for young play, and they put a swing in that is dangerous, of substandard, or they've put no one in then to maintain it, and it gets dangerous, what happens? It all falls back on the council every time. We have to go down proper legal routes. We can't skip out sections. We have an officer coming in now who'll be in before the end of the year, who will be dealing with only 106 money to get this moving. We haven't lost any. Everything that's needed to be allocated has been allocated. And you can't say that they've been sat on their morals. Whatever the word is, because the amount of work that's gone into Holmcroft Park, Chandley Park, Victoria Park, the work that's going into Westwood, there's just such a lot of work that's still been going on, as well as little projects have still been happening. They just refused to take on any more until they got rid of backlog. It is going to happen, Brendan, and it's going to happen soon, and that we have to follow the legal process.
The time is up. 10 minutes is up. All right. So, are you happy enough with what's been said?
I'm happy insofar that an officer will be in place before the end of the year. I'm still not happy with the amount of bureaucracy that seems to be required.
The only comment that I would make on this is that it was once said that, and I think it was Councillor Smith that said it, that money, 106 money, will be spent within the area it's being generated in,
yes.
Not anywhere else. And later on you'll be talking about Charnley Park, a destination park, and the money for that came from the Marrow Quarters. It also came from, some money came out of Common Ward, and that's where that money came from. Not off the council, it all came on 106 money. All right, so let's hope that people understand 106 money is generated for the area where the developments are going on. All right, okay then. 10 minutes is up. Thank you. Well, that's that question. Now we come on to members' items, and this is Councillor Mrs. Barron.
Yeah, if I could ask Red. And I would like possibly confirmation that in the near future, before we move into the building, that we will not be moving the back traders outside.
Right. Okay.
Robert's in the background, thank you, Chairman.
Come on, Robert, you can come and sit up here. We're not having this business of leaving the cabinet member on her own.
It's not usually shy.
Right, because this is important. I know somebody else has mentioned something to me about the Guildhall, the market building and so on.
I think I'll give you the simple answer for Councillor Barron's benefit, which is the immediate future of the market is perfectly safe. And I think Robert will be able to tell you that we have got some new traders have moved in. So I will pass any further comments on to Robert.
Right.
Okay. So Chairman, I think you've heard from the Cabinet Member, yes, the market is operating. We're trying as hard as possible to bring new traders in, because obviously the more traders you've got in the area, the the more vibrant the market will be. And we have been successful over the last few weeks in attracting new businesses into the market. We're giving the market traders as much support as we can as officers to be able to trade from that area, in which is a very difficult trading environment at the moment, obviously, because a lot of people are still not coming into town. They're doing online shopping. But say the traders who are in there are generally doing well, and we will do everything to assist them in the future. And as regards future developments, future high street funding, obviously we will keep them informed as we can provide information, because a lot of it is commercially sensitive at the moment. And we've given that assurance to the market traders that once we can provide information, that we will do so. And that going forward, it is actually a partnership between the council and the market traders, because one can't operate without the other, and we need the market to be successful and vibrant to bring people into the town.
Yes, go on.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, I am aware of the sensitive thing going on in the background, but I am concerned that sometime in the near future, not talking about this in the future, that the trade does not just trade from outside. And a lot of the traders, as you will be aware, are not possible to trade.
Chairman, as far as I think, as far as we're concerned, the indoor market is part of Stafford life, and it's here.
Well, the charter as well.
Yeah. So, but that's not to say that we won't continue with outdoor markets, because they're hugely popular and very successful.
Okay. Satisfied?
Yes.
Right, thank you for that. Thank you, Robert. Okay. Item number 6, called in items.
There are none, Mr. Chairman.
Right, now we come to officers' reports. And the first officer is an actual fact. Is the financial officer here? Would you like to come to the table? I know there's nothing on the agenda. There's nothing on the agenda, but it was agreed.
She's needed for that one. So we can deal with that first, then Emma will be needed.
She's going to talk on that one?
On that one, yeah.
Okay, we've established when you're going to talk. Okay, but in a conversation we had earlier this, we made sure that you were going to be present. All right? So we're moving now to item 7A, which I understand we've got a substitute officer. Right. So, start is on 7A is on page 4. Would you take us through the report, please?
Thank you, Chairman. Council meeting may wish to add to my comments as clearly it's her portfolio. Her portfolio. What I won't do is go through it in great detail, because I think members are reasonably familiar with each of the projects in here. I think what this report demonstrates quite powerfully is the amount of investment that we've been able to bring with partners into Stafford Town Centre, which we think will help to safeguard its viability and attractiveness as a destination to bring people to for many years. You'll be familiar with the monies that we've managed to bring in terms of the Future High Streets Fund and how that will develop, and Victoria Park and the tremendous difference that has already made as a gateway into the town centre, and we're now beginning to develop a calendar of events to take place there again to attract people in, and we hope to make some announcements about a Christmas event there fairly soon. Stafford Station Gateway will also take advantage of HS2 coming in, and will be a tremendous investment into the town. You're aware that, the SWAR, the Stafford Western Access Route, is making great progress and will open this autumn, and the County Council have plans for the Shire Hall as well. So altogether, there is investment listed in this report from a variety of sources, either directly gained by the Borough Council or by partners with our support, of some £120 million worth of investment coming into the town centre. And that doesn't include the monies that will come in for Stafford Station, Gateway, in Tarnwell, or indeed some of the other private sector investments that will come into the town as well. So we think that the future is very bright for Stafford. We're creating jobs, we're bringing people to live in the town centre, and we're creating reasons for people to come into our lovely town to visit and indeed to shop as well.
The only thing I would add in terms of people coming to live in town, it will reprofile the town enormously. It does mean, I think, that we'll see a developing evening economy. We've got quite a lot of sort of young people's activities down at the Bridge Street end of town already. And we're already beginning to see more coffee shops and successful restaurants and so forth coming into being. And I see that taking place on an increased level over the next few years, so that we've got people living and working in the town, but also spending time in the town in the evening, which will benefit the Gatehouse, any new theatre proposals, cinema proposals, the cinema. And the only other thing that I'd add to what the Chief Executive said is that you will see, for those who don't know, that the Magistrates' Court is coming down fairly soon, and there will be disruption to the South Walls approach into town. We go back to the arrangement we had to come in via Bridge Street, so I expect there may be some complaints, but it is part of the huge redevelopment of Eastgate Street, which you will see sort of take fruit fairly quickly because of the funding. The government funding that we've had is money that needs to be spent. The High Streets Fund has to be spent by 2024. So we're not looking at sort of, these are not long-term plans. These are transformations you're going to see over the next 18 months, 2 years. And it's going to be significant and impressive, I think. Thank you, John.
All right. Okay, then. Now, we're going to go through 7A, page by page. All right. So, if you've got a question, you know, I'll hope to hear you. Right, we start on page 4. Anybody have questions on page 4? We're on to page 5. 5-2.
Five, three,
and D first.
I haven't gone on 5-2, but 5.3 with regard to the town centre. How much of the money's been spent so far?
We're just at the stage of appointing consultants. I think that's right. So all the ducks have been put in a row, basically, right now, before the projects take off. And one of the projects, I think, will be the, if you like, the reinforcing of the market square with the kind of paving that can take big exhibitions and big events, because we want to get those off the ground to bring life back into the town as quickly as we can.
And if I may, Chair, that will be the first project that I think members and residents will see, will be the remaking of the market square. So it will be quite a big physical demonstration of the improvements that have come.
We haven't got a figure for the amount yet. Sort of. How big is the pot still?
Oh, the pot is sizable. Everything has, for the bid, we had to cost every element out. So each element has its own budget. I'm going to defer to the finance expert here.
I think from looking at the early stage, Big High Streets Fund, I think we're aiming to spend $5 million in the first year. But I think we've just gone out to the project brief stage for the procurement. so I think we're just at that initial stage, but I think we've gone out for all of, as I understand it, all of Project Greece for each of the stages, so we should be able to get that through and then start spending.
When we start spending this money and projects are beginning to come off the ground, will we sort of be advertising what we're doing? For example, the county, I don't know whether it was the county council, I don't think we were terribly involved. This Unicorn Way, the Western Access. The best place to have seen that was in Lidl's. They actually put two banners up in Lidl's, which are, you could identify where it was going and so on. And I thought that was a really good idea. So
there was also signage down near to Sainsbury's where the route comes in there.
Yeah.
There's a very comprehensive website which includes aerial shots from a camera which shows regular progress updates as well.
Yeah. I must apologise, I haven't been in Sainsbury's 3 years. Lidl's I went in quite a few times.
It's only the car park.
Okay, so that's.
I think the point you made, Jim, is very appropriate, and we'll take it on board.
So that's the first one. Andy, did you want to speak on any other?
I haven't been in Lidl's either.
Neither. I went in. Yes, I did go in yesterday for a different reason, though.
Thank you, Chair. With regard to the Stafford Gateway, I know how important that is to Stafford. So has it been stalled at all during the pandemic?
No, it's on.
Right. Christine is on the same one.
No, I'm still back on.
Sorry?
You
want on the Victoria?
All I want to ask is, when Tim and Francis have spoken about the top square, Market Square, the rest of the town, the surfaces in the town, don't belong to the borough. They're the responsibility of the county.
Yeah.
Can the officers tell us whether the county are actually going to do anything with them because it's actually dangerous?
Chairman, the funding for the Market Square covers the county council section as well as the borough council section of the Market Square. The rest of the town, I think the north end of the town may be in part covered by it.
Without
Karen
here on
Crusher
Street.
No, that's not part of the High Streets Fund.
Chair, we'd be happy to take that up with the council next week. And Chair, if I may, there's also some public rail improvements outside the station as well.
Yes.
Okay, we're still on 5.3.
Thank you, Chair. Just asking, and it may be appropriate because we've got Councillor Trowbridge here, regard to the accessibility, like wheelchairs and pushchairs in the Victoria Park. The last time I was in there, I couldn't put the pushchair because the surfaces. Do you know when that's going to be complete and done?
Can I come?
Yes, you can.
Thank
yes.
you.
They've already changed that some time back now. Around the edge, they swept back the loose chimneys, and we had a lot taken off to make it more accessible. I have gone round now, again, with people with pushchairs and people in the sit-on motor mobility scooters, and both say it's so much better. So I'm actually happy that it's now wheelchair friendly.
Is it going to be completed like the others, or is it going to stay like that?
We have no plans to resin bond, if that's what you mean, for the rest. No, there isn't a plan at the moment to resin bond the rest. I think if money comes in, it's something we can look at, but at the moment, no, there isn't a plan to resin bond the rest.
Okay. All right. Okay, so that was 5.3. Anyone else on 5.3? What about 5.4?
Sorry, Chair. With regard to the Shire Hall, have you had an update? Because I know that's part of County Council, isn't it? But with regard to its progress.
As far as I know, it's on schedule.
Right, there's a lot of interest in.
Yeah, there's a lot. I've had a lot. I've had a lot of inquiries about, because obviously most people don't distinguish between the county and the borough. We're just a council. About its progress, and particularly about the history centre and what's happening with that.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
We haven't got to there yet.
No.
I was going to say, can I ask on that one, Chairman, if the courtroom is staying, you know, is the courtroom staying?
I honestly don't know what the plans are. The courtroom itself is listed, so I think there's,
yeah.
That it has to be kept.
They are staying, Chairman.
Yeah.
So. Right then, so that's page 5, over the page. We've got the top of the page, it's the History Centre.
Chairman, I can respond to that a little bit. Wearing my hat as a trustee of the William Salt Library, rather as a member of the County Council, but Councillor Trowbridge, who also sits on the committee, will be able to answer him for the county. Everything is on target. As far as I'm concerned, the William Salt collections are due to be moved, stored up, and generally prepared for the move by the end of this year. So the Salt Library itself will be ready for the transformation because we'll have stored those books and made them safe. And the work is the beginning.
It's a really exciting project,
yeah.
I'd say. If you look at it, so lucky that we've got lovely funding. So lucky the team we've got there, because they didn't give in when we didn't get lovely funding.
You might come to the table and talk.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
I said we are so lucky the team we've got there, because they put in for lottery funding before, and we got down to the last 9, then 3, I think it was, and lost it. So they wasn't put off, they went again, they put in loads of hard work again, and I couldn't be more pleased with what's going to happen, and I think it's fabulous.
And Chairman, can I also make just a statement on behalf of the volunteers, because so much of what has been achieved by Staffordshire History Centre has been achieved because of the volunteers, both from the Salt Trust and from the Record Office volunteers. And the friends of the William Salt Library who have pushed and done the meticulous work to make the case for the History Centre, and it's going to be a fabulous thing and hugely beneficial to the whole county for young people, researchers and so on. So it's a great success, and it'll be a big attraction.
You might stay there for a moment.
Okay, because I'm up and down like
you. I'll tell you when this item finishes. The part of it, I haven't been in the William Salt Library for a long time, but the point about it was that I did research in the William Salt Library, and it was an experience to be able to sit there, and you wanted to look at collections, and you simply turned around and picked it up out of the stack,
yep.
And then you put it back, and of course that was an experience of being in there, and also I was once sent allowed to go upstairs into the second floor where the
Victoria County History
people were there,
yep.
Because there was another collection up there of outside counties,
and the other thing is that the really most precious books, many of which are in the Salt Library, which goes back to pre-Anglo-Saxon documents and so on, they all now have properly aerated storerooms and so on, so that we can preserve our collections much better than we were able to do before.
Right.
Because the Staffordshire collections are really important. We have people from all over the world researching on our collections.
Very good. And if you don't know, all these things around this room were actually created across in the Record Office.
Yeah.
even find our copy of the Magna Carta, Chairman.
That's true. That's true. Been there, done that. Right. Well, thank you for that. And we now, the only comment on that page I would make, it's so sad. So sad that the magistrates' court is being demolished. And people, I know it's not sad for the people who commit the crimes, but witnesses have to go now to Cannock and give evidence there, which I think is, you know,
absolutely
a bit too much.
Secretary, yeah, on the item you've just mentioned, it's planned for demolition. Now, I believe I saw in the papers it's going to be a car park. Will that have an impact on our income? Will we lease car parking spaces to the county council in our multi-storey car park?
Chairman, as far as I'm concerned, Robert's behind me, so he's ready to answer.
You can come to the table if you wish, Robert.
There'll
be more of thee than us.
This is part of a major renovation plan for the whole of Eastgate. Which will expand, well, it could expand as far as this building, and includes the Wedgwood building and so on. The car park is a temporary plan that the County Council has got, but Robert will be answering
the... Yes, Chairman, obviously the planning application that came in was for the land to be used as a temporary car park for the elected members and for the staff members. These elected members and staff members are generally those who will be displaced by other works that are taking place. We've already heard about the potential for the Heritage Centre. Quite a few county council employees and elected members park on that car park, and they won't be able to do so when that work starts. Additionally, potentially when Eastgate Water comes on board, they have got staff car parking right adjacent to the Wedgwood building. So the idea is that it becomes a displacement car park, and it is hoped that there won't be a loss of income to the Borough Council.
Thank you for that then. Right. Is there any other items on page 6 that somebody wants to make any comments about?
I just had to say, Chairman, I think
I've got... Gareth first.
Mine is a more general point. I'm happy for Councillor Barron to make
that
point.
Go on then, Chris.
That is mine, very brief. It's basically Wren House. I understand that there's been a lot of interest in what it could have taken. I've already accepted transfer, so...
Affordable housing. Right. Okay. Now, Gareth.
I just wanted clarification of with what we've been doing with now up till now is reviewing projects that are taking place within the Stafford town. I've looked at the work programme and I can't see any reference to future work in relation to the borough as a whole. And there are developments taking place outside Stafford town that I was wondering when that would come before this committee.
Right.
And I'm presuming that economic development does not wholly relate to commercial activity, and that I'm aware that St Modwen have recently sold their interest in Method to an American company, and I'm just wondering whether there has been any contact between that company and officers as to what they're proposing, what their plans are, because as far as St Modwen is concerned, their plans didn't seem to exist because nothing really was happening there. And if it comes under the aegis of this particular scrutiny committee, I would be interested to receive any comments as to what work is going on in respect of that.
All right. Tim, you're going to answer that one about Meaford?
Trent?
No,
Meaford. Oh, right. We have regular meetings with St Modwen, we know that they have brought forward a number of potential uses for the site, but as far as I'm aware, very recently, they haven't members of the planning application is due.
I think it's come in.
Has it come in?
Chairman, I believe that they have got new American owners that are indicating locally that they are intending to be much more active than St Mudwin were. And I just wonder to what extent the Borough Council is aware of that and whether a dialogue has been set up.
I'll check with Karen. I don't know whether she's met with
you. All right, thank you for that, Tim. All right, Gareth. And we'll put on this other projects business when we come to the work kit, the work programme.
I think I need to declare an interest because I'm involved, but I think that the item on here in relation to Newcastle and Stafford colleges is a tremendously exciting prospect, and I think that there is I hope that there is a very positive outcome as far as that is concerned. I think the corporation have been very active in terms of getting support. There is shortly to be a ministerial meeting involved, and I think that will really have a huge effect on the town. It really is a very exciting development.
And I think Karen's hoping to bring those items to scrutiny in due course. It's a bit early to be.
Right. Okay. All right. And you missed.
It won't come to scrutiny for some while.
That's all right.
It's got to go through the system.
Okay, and you missed Unicorn Way.
Well, I think it's appropriate that it is called Unicorn in view of the history of that particular area.
I thought I'd mention it. Right, okay. So that comes, then we've done page 6. We turn now to the quarter 1 reporting. Now, this is when you have your opportunity to tell them what's up. Right.
Thank you very much, Chairman. I just wanted to come to explain, ordinarily you should have the financial information for last year and you should have quarter one financial performance reporting. Unfortunately, we've implemented a new finance system and a new repayment system since, I think the finance system went in April and the repayment system went in June. So we are unfortunately a bit behind where we would like to be. So final accounts will be coming to the next scrutiny committee and we will be doing the budget monitoring for quarter 2 and that will come through to the scrutiny committees from the board and review. I'd just like to reassure members in terms of the focus for the finance system, we focused on making sure that payments to businesses and the payments for the housing benefits were all sorted, but we just need to go back now and sort out the
good. Anybody, any question?
Only on section 3.3. Yes. You want me to wait to take that now?
Can you enlighten on 3.3?
Yeah. How's the progress coming on Meathbrook?
I know it's in your report, but it's also a financial thing, isn't it? I thought having it. Now you've got to understand something. We had a conversation earlier in the month about the fact we were not getting the financial report, but she did say she would come along.
Okay.
And because she's here, we've got to make sure. Okay, all right then. Okay, so we are on page 7 and it's Tracy to take us through the report itself.
Thank you,
okay,
Chair.
And thank you for coming.
Thank you.
If you wish to go now, you can go.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I hope to see you next time. Right, Trace, it's all yours.
This is quarter one performance for economic scrutiny, and it continues to be a really busy time for colleagues in development. They've continued with the payments of grants to local businesses, and that exceeds now £47 million. We've heard about the progress made on future high streets and Station Gateway and Meesbrook. And the performance is set out from page 10. We have performance indicators, so I'd just like to put a little bit of context for those as to why the update is from quarter two only. And this is because colleagues were not able to identify which businesses were going to reopen because when restrictions were lifted, and which businesses were going to remain closed, so we didn't have a reliable baseline figure. So we will hopefully have that from 4 to 2 onwards.
Right, okay.
Excuse me, Chair, and is that why page 10 doesn't really tell you anything?
Through you, Chair, yes.
Yeah, and I will say this, on the Resources Committee, there was a similar thing of where, you know, it didn't really tell you what was going on.
Not at all.
Okay. All right, so should we go page by page? And then we'll get down to, you know, we'll get round to there. So we start on page 7, and you've asked a question on 3.3. Now, has anyone else got any questions on that page? Right. Over the page then to page 8. Is there any questions in that area?
Chairman's cost.
5.5.
5.5, Brian. Shout again.
Are we still getting funding from Europe?
A bit political. I think we should, you know, but I mean that's. Tim, we're going to ask you to answer that one.
Chair, the simple answer is yes.
Yeah.
Some of the funding coming from central government, particularly in relation to the pandemic and the reopening of town centres and so forth, is from ERDF funding.
Yeah, the European money was arranged before, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Before we decided to divorce them. Right. Okay then. So that answers the question on 8. Okay, now we go to the page 10. And as Councillor Jones said, doesn't tell you a lot. But the next page does. Are there any questions on page 11?
Well, I had a question on 122.
122. That's Anne Nevin. 122, but it can be answered by Tracy.
I just wanted to make sure that there's all these figures relate to the whole of the borough, obviously. There's a strong, and all these, the 285, I presume, is all affordable housing, and that there are. And the pipeline is presumably an application processing pipeline for 285 units, which will put us above the delivery point of 210. Have we got a target of 210 affordable homes per year going through to 2031? And have we been above, you know, has the pipeline continued to be strong insofar as we have been oversubscribing to it?
No, I'll tell him if you come. Tracy, would you like him to come and help you?
I understand Councillor Firth would like
to. Okay, if he'd like to come to the table. Actually, I think Tracy was going to answer it, but she's now offloaded. Are you all right there? You could sit over near the next one.
Hello.
You're all right? Okay,
this one.
Speak up.
Thank you, Chairman. And in answer to the question, the local plan prescribes a need of 210 affordables every year between 2011 and 2030. There will continue to be a need with the revised local plan, and we are currently delivering in about in excess of that. Due to the pipeline of the length of time it takes to go from planning application, planning permission through to on-site delivery, then we tend to monitor those figures on a long-term basis, and cumulatively we are ahead of target. But it's something that changes on a regular basis, and we have to encourage our local housing associations to continually bring forward housing sites, because that isn't always evident, because they need to be able to go and buy them, or necessarily through Section 106, through housing commitments on site.
Is there an assessment then that 210 is representative of the demand in the borough for affordable housing, and that is being sustained by actual progress that has been made?
Right.
Through you, Chair, absolutely that is the case, and with the revised local plan, that is something that we do keep an eye on to make sure that the figure is representative. The real issue, however, and there is an issue here, through you, Chair, is that developers generally plead penury.
That's right.
And it's interesting that actually, if you look at the developers, they still manage to pay their shareholders significant chunks of money. They still manage to pay their senior executive significant chunks of money. And I would say equally that they still manage to pay landowners significant chunks of money. So it is morally reprehensible when they claim that they can't afford infrastructure, they can't afford social housing, and some of the other things that are required to ensure that we deliver balanced mixed communities within our borough.
Right, well, thank you for that. Now, Tracy, officer's view?
Agree with everything, Councillor.
Everything he said. Right. Okay then. So we're on page 11. Anyone else got any question? Brian Cross?
Yeah, on 1, 2, 3, the symbol is good, which means we're 10% ahead of the target we should be. I know some members keep expressing that there's a massive backlog on planning, but these figures show that there are our planning departments on the ball and keeping up with it, and in fact ahead of what the target is.
All right.
Chair, I do feel I should comment on that, because the measure that is included as the performance reports is a rolling 2-year snapshot, and I think it wouldn't be entirely correct to say that we are not facing any issues, because we are. As members will be aware, we've had an increase of at least one-third of the number of applications that colleagues in development control and development management are receiving. That's a huge increase. A lot of it comes as a result of people spending time at home during lockdown, which means that there are a lot of individual householder applications where people are completing the applications themselves, often not completely filling them, because then the applications, that is, because they're not using agents and other people to represent them. And that has caused issues for us, first of all, in terms of validating applications, and then in terms of considering them in a timely way. We've recognised that issue. We've had discussions with Councillor Beattie and the Cabinet about them, and put in place a number of measures to improve the performance and to make sure that we don't have too long a delay in considering planning applications, because it's an important part of our recovery from the pandemic. But it wouldn't be correct to say that there hasn't been an issue. There has been. It's an issue for authorities across the country who are facing the same pressures. But we have taken actions to respond to that. And I think we're hopeful of improvement, and would be very much open, Chair, should you wish for us to come back in to the November meeting with a focus report on that, perhaps a little more detail, if that would be helpful.
All right. You're all right with that one,
yeah,
Brian?
I'm happy with that.
Right, Andy's got a question, I think.
I fully agree with this, because even when it's gone to the professionals to comment on it, they are commenting that we are way out of kilter on it, and there's
planning applications are going right up to the minute, and then they withdraw for spurious things and have to go back again. I mean, I know there's 5 months applications have been sitting on the desk. We've got an increase, 30%. Why haven't we got some more staff in to try to cover this? But the professionals are upset about it. People have paid good money out. We are supposed to be a professional body. And I think we've got to do something about it, and something about it quick, because I've got umpteen things which are not being covered at all. This fact of looking at jobs which should have enforcement officers out on them, they're just not going out. I mean, I've got a property behind me. They've demolished the property completely and rebuilt it. They're now putting the towers on the roof, and we haven't been out. I've been asked to be informed. Nobody comes back to you. Nobody returns calls. It's appalling. As a business, it is appalling. And something's got to be done, and it's got to be done quick.
Well, I was just going to say, I think the suggestion that Karen brings the paper back in November to show the progress that's been made after some really very, very difficult times for the planning team, I think you'll find that that's quite revealing and very helpful.
Chair, if I may just add to that, and I've been entirely open and straightforward with members on this. The pressure that planning colleagues have been put under is huge. An increase in volume of applications by some 30% is not a small thing. Colleagues have been working from home, which has made it slightly more difficult. We have now brought the staff back into the office, which makes it easier for them to share, and we have streamlined a number of the processes, including validation. So we have taken the action that you suggest, and we've also recruited additional staff, but you can't turn on and off professional staff in that way, as perhaps you suggest. There's a national shortage of planning officers, and it makes recruitment really quite difficult, but we have made vigorous efforts to recruit additional staff and have had some success in that, and I think we're now managing the situation better than we did at first. In terms of enforcement officers, we've also been able to recruit to there, so we will see an improvement in that situation. Again, it is really interesting, actually, and Tracy's found the same issue, I think, in terms of antisocial behaviour. So the business of people spending a lot more time at home or working from home has brought more complaints around enforcement and so forth, because people notice more what is going on around them, so they've had an increase again in terms of activity in that respect. So we are responding, Chair. We're not entirely happy with the situation either. We take it very seriously, and we're happy to report back on progress, as Councillor Peter says in November.
Chairman,
you want to come back on that, Andrew?
The officers don't come back. They don't keep you informed at all. You make calls. I mean, I've made 4 calls today. No one's there. Nobody answers the phone.
Right,
we've got these.
Chairman, can I just
just a moment. The councillor is making a comment. Let him make his comment, and then we'll come.
Okay.
You can come in.
We don't know what's going on. Haven't a clue. We've got neighbours playing oldie smoke. I've got different parts sending emails round to everybody in the kingdom come. It gets very frustrating when you're trying to sort things out, but we're getting no cooperation by our new members that have arrived. Went on holiday, started one day and went on holiday the next for a fortnight, and still nobody comes back to you. You're supposed to go back, and inform me what's going on. I haven't got a clue what's going on.
Okay, all right. Now, let the officer answer the question.
Yeah, yeah.
Tim, let Tim deal with that.
Chair, we put in arrangements for to make it easy for members to ask queries. We put in a particular email address to make sure that we can keep a track of that and be able to get back to you. So if that's not working, then I'm concerned to hear that and happy to follow it up. If you've not used that but have been phoning officers, but clearly that puts additional pressure on their time. But I'm happy after the meeting to pick up some details from you on that and make sure that it's followed up.
Right. Okay. We're still dealing with that one, or is it linked in, Gavin?
I think this comment here on this particular 1, 2, 3 gives a false impression of reality. I think that Councillor Harp has expressed what is the actual situation much better. It's a major part of our business, planning applications, and I don't think that we are serving the public as I would expect at the moment. And I must admit that I would like to have a feel of what the workload is and how the workload is changing on a progressive basis. We don't get that information. We do get information like this, like there's a 30% increase in applications, etc. But I've got no feel of the way that the workload is fluctuating, what resources are being put to reduce the workload. I've got no feel for the balance between minor applications and major applications. In organisations, I think if we've got a responsibility for scrutiny, then it's that sort of information that needs to be coming on the table here. And we're just not getting it. And I think me and Councillor Harp are the only ones that are totally dissatisfied with the reporting structure and the way that the department is managed and the way that the workload is changing.
Can I just follow on from that? Because at the last meeting we had a similar 5 minutes from another councillor who's not present at the moment. He was also involved in this, almost like a criticism of the way things were going on. So it's not new, it's happened.
And I think I've been really straightforward with this, and that's why when the Councillor Cross made the comment about how the tug is expressed here, that I drew to your attention the fact that actually this isn't representative of the situation as it is now. It is published on a rolling 2-year snapshot, which is the system that is given to us. So I've tried to be really straightforward and say that's not how things currently are. We have had a sustained increase in volume of application, 30%. That is huge. And as I've indicated, we take actions to address that. But it's not going to change overnight, but we're really happy to come back and discuss it with members in detail. I've already made that offer in November and be entirely accountable but for how we've addressed the issues, Chairman.
Right, thank you. Christine, did you want to say something before I bring
Cabinet member in? Tim and Francis for explaining everything. I am aware that we have a complete change of officers and staff. But I am personally dealing with an application that's been in for almost a year. It was submitted last year. And we still, I've spoken to the officer dealing with the application. I've spoken to other officers and I've asked her to come back to me and tell me after she'd been on site, been on site. And I still haven't heard. And this has been going on for about 5 or 6 weeks now.
Right.
Some telephone. So it really does need, I appreciate what you're saying, Tim. I do understand that. I know we've lost, as far as enforcement is concerned, we've lost the best enforcement officer. Recently, but I do get frustrated with it because we're not getting any response at all, and we need to know so that we can tell people. The applicant comes back to me and I say, I'm sorry, but I still haven't heard anything. I'm trying, but they're not coming back to me.
Right, fair enough.
Chairman, I think that I acknowledge that Chief Executive has been straightforward with us and tell us that, but it isn't addressing the points that I'm making in terms of us having a better appreciation of what the actual workload is,
yeah,
and how that workload has been addressed. And that's what, I don't think that is an unreasonable request, and I think that it's not something that I would have expected to be answered here and now, but I think that we need to have a commitment that this committee will receive that sort of information so that we can see very well demonstrated the progress that is being made, the work in hand, and how that work in hand will be addressed.
Thank you for that, because I was about to write it down.
Councillor Barron has not,
yeah,
had a response to you all, so I'm very happy to say that.
Okay.
It isn't the only one, though. I mean, I've got one exactly the same as you've got one.
I think we've talked this one through. We've got the chief executive here. As I said a moment or two ago, we had the same 5 minutes at the last meeting, and Mark Winnington is not here, but he was one of the people that really complained. So I think we've made our point, and I'm going to ask now. She sat there, and I bet you feel like swearing, but. Have you got any comments before I...
Chairman, my comment is that the team are doing everything to create, to bring back the previous situation before COVID. What I would like to remind everybody is that it's not very long ago, it's 3 years ago, that we had the peer review. The planning service came out with flying colours. You cannot take out coronavirus as the major factor that has caused these problems. I have talked to all the local authorities in Staffordshire now. I've talked to local authorities across other counties, including Winchester, and they are all sharing the same problems. It is not unique. We are aware that, very simply, we've had officers working from home with mobile phones with bad connections. And so, you know, it has been an impossible situation for them. They weren't able to go out on site for months on end. They couldn't get access to A3 maps. You have to understand, it's no different from other organisations that have had real massive problems during coronavirus. And you can rest assured that everything is being done to process applications as well as can possibly be expected. And I think you'll see in November some very, very valuable changes.
Right. Okay, thank you for that. All right.
Yes,
I am very aware of all the issues,
yeah,
that have been raised.
I think in a way that's given comfort, and I don't think there is comfort. I think there is a very bad situation, and I think that I would prefer to leave it on the basis that progress is going to be made to rectify a problem area.
I will share something with you. In the past, the government took an interest in what was going on in planning, and the fact that we as authority was not working very hard or to their expectations. And I was invited to meet a minister down at Coventry, and what he said to me I cannot tell you in this room. And I'll be honest with you, we've had this virus, we've had the problems, and I think in actual fact, and let's put it this way, very rarely with the chief executive sitting there taking the flak. So he sat there and he's dealing with it himself, all right? So we know that. And we've already got this point coming up on the workshop later of having it reported to us every time. Okay, so we'll move off that one. We'll move on. Any more on page 11? Thank you, Brendan. Page 12.
I do change
page.
Right. Just to ask when work is going to start on these books.
What number is it?
133, sorry, Chair.
133. I always get it mixed up. Meesbrook Garden Community. Tracy?
Have you got a date? When's work going to start? Do you know?
When work started
well,
quite some time
building
ago.
And
one brick being laid on top of another. I couldn't possibly hazard a guess as to that. There are too many stages to go through in terms of the planning work. And for example, Chair, there are various studies that need to be done around traffic movements. We've not been able to do that during the pandemic because the level of traffic movements has been atypical. So we've not been able to address that. So I wouldn't want to speculate.
Right. Okay.
Not as soon as I would like.
No, I've had a number of people, the friends that live around there, that have contacted me and said when, because obviously they're concerned about the traffic and the noise and everything. So, thank you.
All right. Anything else on page 12?
I've got.
You got another one?
I have. Thank you, Chair. 1.3.7.
The Egyptian caravan
and traveller sites. This has been on the agenda for what seems forever. How are we progressing? Have we identified any sites?
About 15 years.
Absolutely. Having a look at the past.
Tracy, just a moment. Tracy, have you got information on this?
No, but I understand that.
You've got somebody else. Well, you may come to the table. And bring his chair with him as well. Right. Okay. Gentlemen.
Thank you, Chair. So this was a question about are we actively identifying gypsy and traveller sites to meet the additional need? So a couple of points worth making just to start with. First one is the additional need was identified as part of the local plan, which runs to 2030. There are other people bringing GMT sites to the market already. So, for example, there was an additional pitch found in Baden Hall, Eccleshall last year. I think that St Albans Road, there has been some work started there as well, which was obviously originally part of the needs-based assessment. So there are pitches coming forwards, and we're not yet at the 2030 either. But there is a regular review, at least monthly, of sites. The most recent sites that I saw, which we looked at, were suitable, but unfortunately were bought prior to auction. So we continue to look for sites, and we assess those sites against a range of criteria, including are they suitable for what we're looking for. So yes is the answer, we just haven't found anything. I think the greatest comfort from my point of view is that actually there is part of a process, so it isn't just done randomly. I think if you asked me 3 years ago, I put forward more sites than the team. The team are now actively searching and putting forward sites because they're professionally scanning what is available.
Right.
Doesn't give us a site though.
No, I'm going to say it doesn't give us.
Okay.
We continue to look for it. And I would encourage, and I'm sure the Chair would encourage, anyone who's got a site that they think is suitable within their ward to put it forward and put it on the table. You know, guys, it's not just up to Cabinet to do this, it's up to all of us around this table. So I would actively encourage people to do that. And I'm not looking at anyone in particular, but, you know, anyone who can, I might even buy them a drink.
I shall send you to Fradswell, see if you come out alive. I don't think
just
you will.
Now, just a minute.
Chair, it's important to remember that we have an allocation of sites that we've got to meet for the new local plan, and so these matters are actually extremely important, and to some extent it's quite urgent that we do identify sites, and Alex, I'm sure, could expand on that.
Right.
Go on, Alex.
Okay then, I will say this, that I visited the St Albans site, and I did speak to the gentleman in charge, and I did make a conversation bit about the land next to it being used as a racetrack by young motorcyclists, and I said, do you think they should do something with it? And he said, no, because it's got methane gas underneath, and that's a problem of all these infill sites. So I do feel, you know, that if we do find something, we need to find land that is not infill, because it's dangerous building on top of them. Okay, so we move off that one. You've got another one, to another question.
Thank you. Yeah, I have 1.4.1. Out of the 325 applicants received, how many have actually received the full grant?
I don't actually have those figures, but I can go back and find them out and let you know if that's okay.
I mean, it's a nice number, but it's the outcome that's most important. Thank you.
Okay. So that's... That is Gareth. When you find out, a letter to all members of the committee, please.
Yes, I'll do that through Andy.
Right. Okay. Anything else on page 12? No. We move on to 13.
Yes, Chair. A game of a similar nature, 1.4.4. How many of the 33 businesses have received their grant?
You'll find that one out as well. Right, thank you for that. Has anybody got any questions on 1.5.1 and 1.5.2? The point is that when we did the pre-eight meeting, Alex was warned they might ask you a question, and he sat there all evening waiting to see if anybody wants to ask a question. But it was mentioned, Alex, about the Gypsy Caravan site coming up in the new plan. All right, and thank you for coming to the meeting.
I think Alex was there.
Sorry? It's behind you.
He's actually got the figures for the Gypsy sites, which
would be... You'll have to shout at me.
I think he has figures for the required number of Gypsy sites for the local plan, which you may find useful.
Can we hear that?
Yeah.
I just feel that Alex has...
Yes, I think... Come on, Alex, come to the table.
He's got his answer.
Thank you, Chair.
Right.
So, in terms of Gypsies, we are doing a study, and obviously feeding into that study is the latest information in terms of planning completions and commitments on Gypsy sites. We've also got a number of Gypsy sites that have been put forward to us through the Strategic Housing and Employment Land Availability Assessment, which obviously is a reservoir of sites that are considered through the local plan process. So we've got those two elements that are being developed and available to us. And when we come back to the committee in terms of preparing and going out consultation with the preferred options, then we will provide you with all of that information so that you have it in your aware of it before the consultation goes out.
Right, thank you. All right. Yeah, any others? Okay. Well, thank you for that, Tracy. That was very good, that. Yeah. Okay, we're moving on. Now, we're moving on to... the work programme, and there are a number of things that we've talked about already. And page 14 is where we start. This is 7C. And I always draw the attention of the members to 3.1, because the work programme is for you to own. And we've had a session this evening where we are going to add things into the work programme. So if we... Anybody on page 14, I've done my bit there. We turn over to page 15. All right, and at the top of the page, there's that statement again about being owned by the members. And we've got one item, which is the high street and the market. People want that included in reports on the meetings coming forward. And could you explain yours there, Councillor Jones, about other projects? You mean similar projects in the rural areas?
Yes, I think the scope of this committee is the whole borough. We focus this evening on Stafford Town,
And I'm sure that there is activity going on outside of the town, within the borough. And we've already mentioned Method, but I'm sure that there are other aspects of other developments taking place that I'm not particularly aware of. And I thought, as a matter of balancing, that it would be helpful to have a total borough, a non-town, but within borough review of what was going on.
Right. So we're going to put that in the officer's report.
That's a great idea. In addition, you might like to bear in mind that a rural strategy has been prepared. It's still got to go through leadership team and through cabinet briefing and so forth. Thinking forward to your plans for the beginning of next year, I think that will be when the rural strategy is going to be interesting to you.
So you're suggesting that would be the February meeting?
It might be worth waiting to the February meeting. I mean, you can have an update on the businesses work is being undertaken.
Yeah, you've got the gateway there, the garden community, and the 106. So that in actual fact should go in there somewhere. All right? So
we've added that to the February meeting.
Is it the garden community next to the one
at the
Trinity?
Sorry? The garden community is sort of ongoing.
The project to February.
The rural strategy, from the point of view that probably over a third of the businesses in this borough and the rural area, as Gareth has said, they are a very important economic factor in the borough, which is why we're doing the piece of work that we're doing. And so it will be of considerable interest to this committee, I think. But you might want to wait to the beginning of next year when the preparatory work has been.
I'm happy with that, Chair.
Okay, then. All right, now, the update on the High Street and the market.
Thank you, Chair. I was looking at the future items, and there's nothing built into the work programme about the High Street funds and development in the town, and shouldn't we receive a report at each committee about that so that we know where it ends, and perhaps a task and finish group for the programme? I understand that's been working.
Jim, the financial commitment is very prescriptive, so what is done has already been agreed with government. Some of it, as the Chief Executive said, is commercially sensitive at the moment. And again, I think an update at every meeting would be the most useful thing for this committee.
So an update at every meeting,
starting
in November.
Starting in November.
Yep.
And you can consider whether it would be helpful to have public meetings and so on, which I'm sure will be undertaken as part of the exercise anyway.
Yeah. I think, as you said earlier, some of it is commercial excluded, but then we could go into confidential, because I do feel councillors ought to know what is actually going on, not
absolutely
have to pick it up from the newsletter.
Yeah. You might hope by November that there's a lot more information.
So excuse me, that was not a knock against the reporter. Some of the things that you read on the front page of the newsletter, even I get surprised. I didn't know they were doing that.
She's on the call, you see.
Yes. So we could do it, but it will be reported, as we suggest, from November.
I think if you put it on the agenda every meeting,
from now on,
be it that comes the stage when you say
right.
Like
okay then,
yeah.
Is that fair enough?
Yeah.
Okay, Gareth.
Yeah, I'm very happy with that.
Yep. Okay then. All right now. So that's we're looking now at page 16, which is the November meeting, and then you've got the December one. And you see the items. There's a new local plan update there, Alex. in December, and we moved him to, we've got February as well, so we've moved some of those things. That 106 meeting, again, Brendan McCune was here really muttering about the fact that the 106 agreement that we thought we knew didn't seem to be happening, and so it was a very interesting start to this meeting. So, but I do feel, you know, that we, and one of the comments that were made at the last meeting was that we're going to have an officer explain 106 money and how it's operated to the new councillors. Whether it was done on their induction period, I don't know.
I believe that there is an intention to organise a workshop for members to do exactly as you suggest.
Yeah.
I don't think the date has been identified.
No, not yet.
Yeah.
We want it to be the new 106 officer doing it, or being part of it. So it's
all right.
An arrangement we're building soon.
Okay. All right, Francis, you happy with that?
Yes, no, I was going to say the same, that we've got training.
Right over there. Okay, so we're on page 17, and of course the next one is blank. That means we're finished.
Yes.
All right. And for Robert's benefit, what time are they kicking off?
That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yeah, there was a. You switched off, haven't you?
Yeah.